This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
Patsy with a Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing, and for everyone who wants to know the story behind the book. Coming to you from glorious Clearwater, Florida, the perfect place for writers to write and readers to enjoy a good book. And I want to give a special shout out and thank you to Glenn Erickson, who is a sponsor of Joy on Paper, and we enjoy his promos at the end of the bottom of the hour, where he talks both about the Red Cross and about Toastmasters and about his love for writers and how he encourages writers to get involved in writing groups. So special thanks to Glenn Erickson for this, because my first guest today is somebody who really appreciates Toastmasters and has a lot of experience working with them. And I'm so happy to welcome to Joy on Paper, back to Joy on Paper, Rhonda Green, whose book, Surviving the Sunrises and Sunsets, is such a remarkable book. And I was so thrilled when I got it from her. And I'm so happy that we're going to be following up with Rhonda over the next months and years, because she is going to be, I think she's going to be a real star, not just in the writing world, but also in the speaking world. She's going to get out there once we get over this COVID thing. She's going to get out there and make speeches, I think, all over the country. So welcome to Joy on Paper, Rhonda. How are you?
I am doing fine, Joy, and thank you so much for inviting me today.
Well, I'm happy to have you back because, as I said, we've talked a couple of times. We talked both when your book came out and then during NaNoWriMo, and I've had emails from people who said that you were an inspiration to them. They heard your story, and they just found it so intriguing. And my enthusiasm for you, I think, has really rubbed off on them. So tell us what's going on with you. Of course, let's talk about Toastmasters a little bit, because okay. You became a very, you now are a great speaker. And I believe once we finish this whole COVID mess, that you're going to be invited to speak to many, many groups.
Well, I joined Toastmasters because I have a speech impediment, and it only comes out when I'm feeling ill or when I'm sick. And as a contractor, you go to work when you're slightly sick, not when you have the COVID, but when you're slightly sick, you go to work anyway. And I was speaking to the director of engineering, and radiology is something that I say every day, or radiography. It's something that I say every day. I butchered it so bad. I just could not get it out. And they were starting a Toastmasters club at the company. And he says, I really think that you should get with Toastmasters to help you with your speaking skills.
Well,
I said, yes, sir. You know, this is the person who decide my pay raise, decide if I could take the vacation time I had, this, this, that, and the other. And just like if your boss suggests that you go to graduate school to get a master's degree or to get some additional education, you take that suggestion and run with it. That is why I joined Toastmasters. I have stayed with it because it has given me a platform to get out there and practice giving speeches so that I could get more comfortable with speaking in front of small groups and larger groups. In my writing career, however, now I am using my Toastmasters clubs to the max. We have a role called the Ah Counter Grammarian. And in the meeting when you speak, they keep a record of all your pause words. And if you use the incorrect grammar, they notate that also. So as I am working on book two, when I'm scheduled to speak at one of my Toastmasters, I give them a reading from my book, and they catch the grammatical errors that help me edit my script before I get ready to publish. I am just having a ball.
Oh, that's very clever of you. You are, well, you are really somebody very, very special. And I think that when, as I said, when I first read Sunrises and Sunsets, I was like, oh my goodness, where did you come from? Because your writing is so very good. And I just, give us a little background about how you started writing, and we'll talk more about some of the stories too.
Well, I'm 62 years old, and I have had many life experiences. You know, you can't look at a person, see where they are now, and know where they have been. So I decided when I joined the Authors and Aspiring Authors Toastmasters Club in Las Vegas, it's all about learning how to write, how to edit, how to get your manuscript, and like I said, a platform for you to read your script to get suggestions. I said, I'm going to write a book. I'm going to write a book about my life stories and just give a little lesson learned that maybe sometimes a reader can pick it up and say, that's where I am. Maybe I can move forward. Maybe I can do this. And I have decided that I am going to catch up with a couple of the women's shelters here in St. Louis and donate some books to them, because I think those are the people who would really need to read some stories of where you've been abused and you have survived it and you've made decisions to move on with your life, to let that past go so that you can be the better you. So it was all about, I am not publishing the books to make a lot of money. I'm publishing the books to get the stories out there to help other people. I know that sounds just simple, but it is.
And I think you do, because what I love about the stories, and this book, there are 20 stories, but each story really has a lesson from your experiences, and you then put at the end of each story, you know, what people should have learned from the story. And I think that's so, I think it's beautifully written and a wonderful way for people just to pick up, they can pick up the book. You know, I think people will read the stories once and then go back and they'll just pick up the ones that really touch their hearts and empower them. They'll say, well, Rhonda did this. This happened to Rhonda. She had these tough times. And really, I mean, some of the things that you went through were just terrible. And I know that a lot of people, and I've had several emails from people who said, after I read about Rhonda and the problems that she faced and the things that she overcame, I feel, you know, I can do anything, you know, because it is wonderful when you share this kind of, you went through a lot of pain in your life and you've come out the other end with this wonderful attitude, this beautiful voice, this charming personality. You are inspiring.
Well, thank you. I never looked at my life like inspiring. I looked at my life as a survivor, and there are so many of us out there who are survivors. And we huddle in our little corners, and we don't let people know the things that we have been through in the past. You know, some of the things that we went through were a little bit embarrassing. Some of the things we went through, we knew we should have made those decisions to leave, to run away, to fight back, to do all of those things, and we did not. So, you know, we beat ourselves up 24/7. Well, I got to the point in my life to where I'm not holding myself back, and I'm willing to share.
And that is what is so remarkable about you, that you do share these very, sometimes very intimate stories, but being a survivor is inspiring to people. People will say, yes, you know, we can look at our lives and we can say there were these things that were wrong and that we did or that happened to us, But there's the other side, and that's why you really pick the exact right title for your book.
Well, you're going to love book two. You are going to love book two. I started writing it this year in NaNoWriMo of 2021, November, National Novice Writing Month. I wrote 20 more new stories, and I wrote stories about actually fighting back, stories about workplace discrimination because I was female, because I was black. This book has some happy stories, but it has even more stories about the things that I went through, and everybody is going to love that story about time to fight back. You're gonna look at it and you're going to go, wow. Wow. But I'm in the process of editing now. I have spoken in my last three Toastmasters Closed meetings. I have read different stories and got feedback. Change a word here, change a word there, but not something to change the way my content is presented. Because it's hard for somebody to tell you how to write your story when you're telling it just as it happened, you know? So each book is having more and more of my life, and I'm going to stop at book three, point blank. Three is it.
Oh, well, that's what you say now, but believe me, I have a feeling there are more books in you. And what I love about your writing, when I first started reading your very first story, I said to myself, I sort of had to stop myself, and I said, this is so authentic. You're using such an authentic voice. And people struggle, you know, to find their voice. So many authors struggle to find their voice. They can't find a voice. They're always worrying about their voice. And then I get this little book, and I'll tell people it's a little book, and you just sent it to me sort of out of the clear blue sky, because I get so many books from, you know, all the major publishers and all sorts of famous people. And I open this envelope, and you had this little thin little book in there. And I thought, well, you know, this is, I love when an author will go out of their way to reach me and find me. And so I sat down and I started reading the book, and the first word that came into my mind was authentic. This is so beautifully written, and I don't want you to change that, I can tell you. That's what I'm always telling people. It's wonderful to have, you know, the input from other people, that the way you're getting it. It's a natural way to get help, but not to use these writing programs where, you know, you put your words in and then they juggle them all around and tell you what word to use. You're authentic, and you have to stay with that, because I think that's what makes you so brilliant and why I think that you've got an enormous career in front of you.
I hope so. I'm close to retirement from my engineering career, and I have loved every last one of the 40 years, but there comes a time when you have to step away. And when I do step away, then I will have my art, and I will have my books. After I finish Sunrises and Sunsets, I am going to write a book called God Saved Me From Myself.
Okay. That's good.
That'll be different. I have three more books after Sunrises and Sunsets on the horizon to get them together, to put them together. And my sister said, well, Rhonda, once you start writing, you will keep on writing. She said, you know how to do it. You know how to put it together. I do have people who talk to me about me doing audiobooks.
Mm-hmm. You should.
I will think about that in the future, but that's their goal for me, not my goal for me. And I might go out on the speaking surface.
You're going to be. I believe you'll be on the speaking circuit because you are so real and so original. So, you know, let's give a little background, because you mentioned, of course, being an engineer. And
yes,
this, some of my listeners who wrote to me, they were also inspired by this, by your career, how you got into engineering in the first place.
Well, the way I got into engineering in the first place is I graduated from high school when I was 16 years old. And my aunt was a English professor at Prairie View A&M University. at the university, they had this program called Engineering Concepts Institute. It is an 11-week program for newly graduated high school seniors to introduce them to engineering. My parents were paying full tuition for both of my older sisters. Now, I wanted to major in mathematics because I wanted to be a mathematics teacher. But since I graduated early, I didn't have the opportunity to apply for scholarships and things like that because I had not planned on graduating. Well, once I got accepted to the program, after the 2 weeks, they offered me a 4-year full scholarship. That took off some of the financial burden from my parents. So, therefore, I got a Bachelor of Science degree in engineering, and I had a dual major in engineering and mathematics. I think I had like 164 hours when I graduated from college because I was heavy on the technical side. But I got to learn what I wanted to from mathematics, and I got one of the most fantastic careers. People who see the movie Hidden Figures about the three ladies who were working for NASA, three black ladies who were working for NASA, they said, is that why you got into engineering? I said, no. No, but I got into a field, and I'm good in it. And I love it. I get to use my mathematics every day. I get to talk to young people at high schools with the STEM programs, science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. I get to talk to them about engineering careers because we need people in engineering careers. We definitely need minorities. We need women in engineering. And I go to the schools and talk to them about it. I love it. It is so much fun to answer their questions.
Well, my goddaughter is also in engineering, and she's amazing. And I think it's such a wonderful career for everybody. One of the problems in school is they're not really involving the kids in the joy of solving problems. And that's why the STEM program, I think, is so important. And to get kids excited about creating things. Once you have that excitement, you know, my husband was an aeronautical engineer, and that is something that it fills your mind. You have your mind is always active when you're doing something like that.
Well, I was taught when I was real little, I already knew as I was growing up that I was going to college. What I was going to do in college, what degree I was going to have didn't matter. But my mother always told me to want to be married and have a family is wonderful. But what if something happens to your husband? How are you going to take care of your children? That is why you need that 4-year degree. It doesn't guarantee you anything, but like my father said, it's that license to hunt. It gives you that opportunity to go out there and get a really good job to where you can take care of your entire family if you wanted to. Now, that's what I was thinking. That's not how it worked out. But we all know we set our goals and then God makes his changes and does, and you end up doing what he wants you to do, not what you think you want to do. But I just love it. I love talking to the kids, but not only kids, but people in high school, junior high school, some of the colleges, they bring us in and have us talk about our engineering careers, how we got there, where we are, not how much we make, but, you know, we make more than somebody flipping burgers at that national hamburger joint.
That's exactly it. Well, that's why I think you're an inspiration. That's why I think you should be on the speaking circuit, talking to many different groups, including, you know, high schoolers, college kids who don't know exactly where they're going, and even at prisons where these people need help and need to believe that they can do something, because you are truly, Rhonda Green, you are truly an inspiration. And I want to thank you so much, you know, for being on Joy on Paper again. And let's mention you are also an artist. And how people can find out more about you, where they should go. I know you have on your Facebook page. Explain how they can find about your art, because you are a very talented artist.
I'm just on Facebook, Rhonda Green. Rhonda Green, St. Louis, Missouri. Okay, I'm easy to find. I'm not hiding out there anywhere. And they can go to your website because you have an office page for me.
That's right, I do.
Your website.
I do, and I'm going to put this interview up there too. I'll do that this weekend because I want people to be as inspired by you as I have been too. Because when I'm thinking, you know, I've had some friends who have been dealing with, you know, things here during the pandemic period, some real, you know, difficult times. And I, you know, mention your book. I say, you know, I come out with the same thing. You know, the sunrise, there are sunrises and there are sunsets. And you know, we have to deal with these things. And everybody can be inspired by you, Rhonda, because I think you are just wonderful.
My email address is Rhonda, R-H-O-N-D-A, writes, W-R-I-T-E-S, books, B-O-O-K-S, at gmail.com. Very simple, easy to remember.
Okay, and people can send you an email and share their stories and ask you questions, because I think you have an enormous future. Someday, probably they're going to do a movie about you, because I know, for example, I've had an author on who did one thing, and she got a movie deal about her life and your life and how inspiring you are. And as you write the rest of your books, I think that people will start noticing you, because you're a great writer. And I really want to thank you so much for joining me today on Joy on Paper. Rhonda, you are a joy.
Thank you very much, Joy.
Okay, well, we're going to play, actually, why don't you hold on and you can listen as we're going to play a book buzz from Devon Miller. One of the things that we're doing here at Joy on Paper, we're going to be we'll do a special promo for you, for your book. And we've done one here that I think you'll enjoy listening to. And then after that, I just wanted to say, you know, thank you again for being on Joy on Paper.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye now.
Hey, everyone, it's Devon Miller, author and illustrator of the Mr. Tickety-Tock Lock children's book series, reporting for Joy on Paper with the latest on children's book buzz. 2022 is here, and that means it's time to ring in a new and different year. Now, hopefully you're not too sad that it's time for a new year, but hopefully this different year can bring in its own unique surprises. But different can be good, just like ZZ the Zebra learned in the book ZZ the Zebra. Told in rhyme, ZZ the Zebra was written by Karen Winward, who has a passion for reading and writing, and the illustrations were done by Kate Dobney. ZZ the Zebra is a tale about kindness. Now, we're more familiar with zebras being striped black and white, but ZZ isn't. She looks different to the other zebras. And being different is okay, because that's what makes us special. This book helps children understand the theme of uniqueness and kindness. Just like the characters in the story, let's all show a little kindness in the new year and wherever we go. This is Devon Miller reporting for Joy on Paper. For more book buzz involving children's books and authors, head on over to radio-joyonpaper.com and click on Devon Miller's book buzzes. I think it's about time that I buzz out now.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Are you ready to eliminate your home energy bill? Well, get ready to harness the sun. Go EHS, Effective Solar Solutions, by Efficient Home Services. With no upfront costs, you can save money on your utility bill and even eliminate your electric bill altogether with EHS Solar. Call EHS, the number one solar installer nationwide. We know how to customize your home. EHS handles every project in-house with no subcontractors. Remember, no upfront costs, tax breaks, and the best company in the business, Efficient Home Services. Schedule an appointment today at 727-353-3757. Visit our website and download your free buyer's guide to going solar at www.goehs.com. Go solar, go savings, go EHS. Call 727-353-3757 today to talk to our experts.
Are you an author, an artist, an inventor? Then you need to protect your valuable intellectual property. You need Larson & Larson. We have the experience and knowledge to help you with all of your legal needs, from processing trademark, copyright, or patent applications to negotiating licensing agreements and handling litigation. The attorneys at Larson & Larson in Largo, Florida can help protect you. Call us today for a no-cost consultation at 727-546-0660 or visit our website at larsonpatentlaw.com.
Do you dread being called on to speak at meetings or family functions? Have you envied those who can sway an audience with well-chosen words? Do you know that people who speak well earn more money, earn more rewarding careers? Gain the confidence to master any speaking situation. Toastmasters will allow you to find your voice. Go to toastmasters.org to locate the club nearest you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is Patsy with a Z, and I am back with my guest, who I have been waiting to talk to her because her book is so wonderful, and I am really thrilled to welcome to Joy on Paper someone who's, you know, I've been dealing with on several different areas of the business world, but when I got this book, I was really just sort of stopped in my, you know, and spent a day reading this book because when I get a book, sometimes if I start a book and I just get captured by the first page, and that's what I'm always looking for, I just can't stop it. And when I got this book, that's what happened to me. So I'm happy to welcome to Joy on Paper, Caitlin Hamilton Sumi. Hi, Caitlin.
Hi, thank you so much for having me, and thank you for your kind words.
Wow, you know, as you know, I get a lot of books, and when I got this book, it is so wonderful. It's called Geographies of the Heart, and when I got it, I didn't know what it was going to be, you know, about. I didn't know exactly, although I had read some of your short stories, and of course in your award-winning book, To Lay to Rest Our Ghosts. But when I got this book, I sat down and I started reading it. First of all, it grabbed me because it happened. I was reading it at a time when I had made my first venture out to go to a coffee shop because, you know, where I didn't have to have a mask on, where I could sit down. And just a few days before I got this book, and it was, they had this horrible loud music. And then when I read your book in the first, right from the beginning, your main characters meet in a coffee shop where they have no music. And I thought, oh, my goodness. Because one of the fun things about being in a coffee shop where there's no music is listening to people, having those voices around you, feeling the people around you instead of some blaring music that you wouldn't listen to, you know, for anything normally. So I was captured right there. I said, oh, I like this coffee shop.
That's great. I think that I too get a little bit tired of the loud music in coffee shops and restaurants because I can't hear what my companions are saying across the table. So in that scene, I definitely wrote my ideal setting.
Well, you did. And it's true that the sound of voices, human voices, you know, just sort of in the background, or sometimes, like, if I'm really close to somebody, I might be listening and trying to pick up some dialogue. But that is so much nicer than that blaring music. And when they meet, when Sarah meets Elle, or Elle meets Sarah, you know, it's just, it is magical.
Thank you. Thank you. I've written about these characters for decades, and I care very much about them. So to hear that you were swept up in their story and that you thought their moment of meeting was magical, that's just music to my ears. That's just wonderful. Thank you. They're good people. They're flawed people. But they're people who manage to hold hands and get through And their story is one I think can resonate for a lot of readers because of that.
Well, and particularly in these times where people are now more aware of the importance of family, I think this book is something that people can read, and no matter what your relationship with your family is, some people have great relationships, some people are far apart. I think when they read this book, they'll start analyzing their situation and say, you know, this has to work because we are family. And I think that comes across in your book.
Thank you. A family is hugely important to me. It's been defining in my life. And so I guess I share that one thing with Sarah. And I wanted people to know that reconciliation was possible. I understand there are situations where that might not be possible, but I think the difficulties that Sarah and Al face in their family life, especially with Sarah's younger sibling, Glennie, and the way they strive to all work together and come to some kind of livable situation, I think it is possible, and I think it's hopeful. And I hope that you're right, that lots of readers will want to read it, because in this time when we've all been separated, hopefully the emphasis on connection and reconciliation will be something people want to read about.
And now you tell this in three different voices. Of course, Sarah is the, you know, sort of the main character, but the other two, Al and Glennie, tell us about how you decided first to do it in three different voices, and what were the dynamics when you were writing? How did you handle that? Because it's not always easy to write in three different voices.
No, it's not, and I definitely was drawn to Sarah first and wrote about her first and most often. But the way I write is I hear a line or I hear a voice, and all of a sudden one day there was Al, and it was a story called Taking Root, which is now a chapter in this book because I've worked it in as a chapter. And I loved hearing from Al and discovering his humor, and I realized that his perspective on Sarah was really critical to understanding her. And then the more I wrote about each of them, I realized that Glennie deserved to have her say. Glennie needed to be able to speak for herself rather than have people always speak about her or for her. And so that was the last character I wrote. Glennie was the last person I wrote about.
Well, I love the way you talk about them because they are real to you. And that's what happens with it when you start writing and it takes over, the characters take over your life, so that sometimes you're writing about a character, you know they're a character, but you feel like they're sitting there at the kitchen table with you.
I mean, that's the greatest compliment you could give me, that they felt that real to you. They feel that real to me. And I have been writing about them for probably half my life. So at this point, I'm letting them go. I don't see another story or book coming about this family. But it's easy to let them go, knowing that their stories have reached people and that people care about them, because I sure do.
So tell us from the very beginning, when you first started writing about them,
My memory may not be 100% accurate, but I believe the first story I wrote about Sarah was in 1994.
And she just came to you? The
Yes, she just appeared in a line. The first thing I wrote about her was chapter 2 in this novel, which is called Cleaning House, about how she was helping caretake for her grandparents. And then I just found myself writing about her again. And again, and again. My short story collection, To Lay to Rest Our Ghosts, took about 25 years, and that's because I'm a mom, I run a business. There are whole years where I don't get to write, and that's fine. I love being a mom. I love my job. This one took even longer because I took the three of the stories from the collection and decided to finish the story of Sarah and Al and Glennie. So part of the reason it takes me so long is not just time, though. It's because I'm waiting to hear. I'm very intuitive. I don't plot. And so it takes me a long time to hear, to get a rhythm for these characters and to write my way toward them. But I do believe I began writing about Sarah in 1994.
Wow. I think that's lovely that you've taken your time and let them come to you and just bring them to life, but they're there as part of you. I think that's lovely to hear. And I think that's also encouraging to people because I know that some people do. They'll start writing and then they'll say, well, I'm not doing more right now. And they don't allow themselves that sort of leisure to just get into the characters and let the characters seep into you and through your life experiences over the years, what happens, you know, all worked its way into the storyline.
I think that a lot of people are lucky that they have more time to dedicate to writing. But one of the things I've learned in the last maybe 5-6 years was to trust my process. I don't have a choice. It's not as though I can just take hours and hours to write. But I realize that this is just how I work as well. And it's taken me a long time to see this book into print or to see the stories into print. But I'm glad I did it my way, and I'm glad I was patient. And I think any writer out there listening today, I hope folks will keep going. Because, yes, I'm a slow horse in this race, but I did it, and you can too.
Exactly. And as you're living your life, these experiences take, you know, part in the story that the outcome, the final outcome, is based on many of the things that happened to you over those 25 years. The wisdom that you gain, the experiences that you gain, the people that you meet, those are all interwoven into the final book. So it's not there's no loss from, you know, taking your time on it. When perfection comes, and I think this is about as perfect as you can get when for a book that is character driven, that is completely a part of a big story. It's worked out fine for you.
Thank you. I am really touched to hear you speak so highly of this book. Thank you so much, especially because it would be so sad if you didn't think well of it after all this time I put in. But thank you. I think, you know, one of the things that taking my time really gave me, because when you age, you see things differently, is a maturity. Because I've been writing this book so long, and it is a story. It's not my family, but I've gained perspective and grown up too with the book. And so I'm able to end it on a more mature note. I don't know that I could have done that when I was writing at 24 or 25. I think Sarah had to grow up too.
And with you at the helm, just moving it along so beautifully. I think one of the things that, you know, writers, you know, there are this modern day thing where a writer has to turn out a book a year. It's very difficult for writers who take time. But sometimes, you know, it works out. I think when an author has something that is so beautifully written like this, I think it will get that attention that it needs. Because, first of all, I think it would be a wonderful, wonderful film. Nowadays, we think in those terms. We have to think in those terms. And I hope that you know, you are out there, you know, the publishing world. Because a book like this, it is so cinematic, from a, you know, point of view of a cinematographer, wow, it's cinematic. This is you could someone could write a script based on this book that would be really based on this book, because so often when you take a book to write a film script for, it's hard to pick out the parts that you want. In this case, it would be hard to pick out the parts you wouldn't want to put in a film, because it is so beautifully written.
Thank you so much. I mean, I would love to see it as a film. I did sit and think in one of the long days of these many years, who would play Al, you know, because I think he's so integral.
Oh, I like Al so much. Let's describe him, because, you know, it's not one of these. Sometimes, you know, in books, they have to be look a certain way. But Al is just a real guy, and that's what makes him so interesting.
Al is a real guy. He's a large, lumbering, soft-spoken man. I describe him in the book as having the heart of a puppy and the body of a bear.
Exactly. I thought that was so wonderful. And, you know, he doesn't have to be... sometimes they just romanticize the character so much that... But to have a real man that you can really envision, I think he works. And what a wonderful... that's why this happens to me. And I think that's why I read the book so... in a way so quickly, because I got it, I sat down with it, I was just enchanted with the opening. And then after that, and this happens every once in a while, a book will just grab me and I forget that it's a book, and I see it. I mean, I could see her, you know, I could see her going through the Christmas boxes. I could see the grandparents in the retirement home. I could see all of it. It was so visual to me, because your writing is so beautiful, that throughout the book I kept sort of sitting back. I'd read the book and I'd sit back and I knew right, like almost before my eyes, I could see it being played out as a movie.
Well, that is, I mean, that's so exciting to hear. I do think it would be a neat movie. And I think, like you say, it's a very character-driven story. So it would be, I think, something actors and actresses could sink their teeth into. There's a lot here about grace and forgiveness and anger and resentment and growing up and growing old.
Oh, and somebody who'd play Glennie, that would be a wonderful part. That'd be a great part for an actress.
I think Glennie would require a certain amount of nuance. I think, and that's why I wanted her to have her say, because she is presented and seen in one way, maybe two ways. And it was so important for her to be able to speak about who she is on the inside and the complexities of her life. And I felt, out of respect for her, that she should have a chance to articulate her side of things. And I think in doing so, it allowed her to see her sister Sarah differently. And I believe that her chapters allow the book to turn where I hoped it would go.
Well, I think they did, because I'll tell you when in the beginning of the book, I don't want to give anything away what happens to her, what she does, because in the beginning of the book, I was like really worried about, her, you know, in the first few chapters. I thought, oh my goodness, you know, it's going to be something horrific. And it was like almost sort of a little bit of a mystery. What's going to happen to Glennie? And I was so, you know, in so many ways happy that she didn't die in chapter two or something. I'm just giving that much away, you know, because I wasn't sure. Because your writing has that aspect of sort of keeping us guessing what's going to happen next, which has made the book exciting.
Oh, I'm so glad to hear that. I am glad that it was compelling, and I think I think it's important to understand that part of Glennie is her need for control, and that plays out in different ways. And one of them is dangerous, I think. I think she has made a dangerous choice. But coming back to the whole notion of family being a nest in a safe place, they did not let her give up on herself, and they did not give up on her, as difficult as their relationships were with her sometimes were. And when they needed to, they drew the line they felt they needed to draw. It's hard to say this because talk about it, because I don't want to give any.
Don't give it away. People have to read this book. I really want people to read this book, and give your how they contact you, your website.
Absolutely, I'm at CaitlinHamiltonSummie.com. That's SUMMIE, and my publisher is Fomite Press. They're a small literary publisher up in Vermont. And you can also find me at my work website, CaitlinHamiltonMarketing.com.
Well, Caitlin Hamilton Summie, you have written a lovely book, a beautiful book, one that I hope that people will get. I love the cover, by the way. It's a great cover. It's an important book also because it is about family. And at this time, we need family. Things are getting, crazy. And what so many people went through when they were not able to see their family, so many people lost family members because they weren't able to go to, the retirement homes. They weren't able to go into hospitals. It's been a horrific time. And whatever went wrong in your family, if you had anything wrong, fix it. Life is short. In some ways, life is short and life is long, because sometimes it's very long and you have so many regrets. So if you don't, just read this book, get inspired, and call up that cousin that you haven't spoken to for 30 years because she stole your boyfriend. right? People are silly sometimes about things like that. I mean, I know somebody who this actually happened to. She didn't talk to her cousin for 30 years. I said, yeah, but you didn't. She married him, and he was turned out to be terrible. Thank her. I said, you should have called and thanked her for stealing your boyfriend, because he turned out to be a horrible guy. right?
Oh, my gosh. Well, I think, like I say, I hope reconciliation is possible. I wanted to write toward that. I wanted to write a book filled with love and family and hope and heart and forgiveness.
And it is. It's filled with all of that. It's a wonderful book. And again, Caitlin, thank you so much for being on Joy on Paper. I will
That's
be happy
honor.
To
thank
be,
you.
Keep promoting this book, because I think it's great. And you are you have a talent, and I know, maybe this book is done, but there's another book in you. Hopefully it won't take 25 years.
Well, that's what we're all hoping.
Okay. Bye-bye now.
Thrilled to be on the show. Thank you.
Well, bye-bye. You're wonderful. Just thank you so much. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Okay. Oh, what a story, Sometimes I love this when characters just take over your life. It enriches your life. That's what writing does. It enriches your life. All sorts of things can happen. You can go through ups and downs. But if you're a writer and you have characters, it's wonderful. It's really wonderful to have characters in your head. I mean, I know I have characters in my head that are sometimes more real to me than real people, because they're somewhere up there. They're in my head, and I don't know sometimes where they come from. So this happens, and in my case, it's one British guy who's like, I'm obsessed with this story about him, and I have been for years. But it's like I know him. So, this happens. And I hope that all of you will. And look at what Rhonda Green did. Rhonda Green, she wrote a simple book, 92 pages. in 92 pages, she wrote more. There's more heart and soul in that 92-page book. You have to go to my website and check out the page that I did for Rhonda Green and order her book. It's like, I think she's selling it for like $1.99. It is a wonderful, wonderful book. As a matter of fact, you could order 10 of them and send them to a women's shelter because it is an inspiring book. That's a good idea. Oh, I didn't think of this. This is what I want you to do. Go to my website, check out Rhonda Green, and if you want to do something really nice, a really wonderful thing, a good deed, order 10 of her books because she's selling them for $1.99. And send it to a local women's shelter in your area. Because any woman who gets this book will be inspired. Rhonda Green is a marvelous person, a wonderful person. And she shared these difficult stories in the hope that other women would be, and men too, can be inspired. Because men can see, like, if you've done the bad things in your life to a woman, boy, you should be reading this book and you'll understand what it means and what your actions, what happens when you do something, you know, you're not nice to your wife. But this is a wonderful, wonderful example of a good deed you can do. Go to my webpage, Radio-Joy on Paper. Check out Rhonda Green. Order 10 of these books. Help her get some sales because it's just inspiring for her to get sales, but it's also will be wonderful for a woman's shelter to receive 10 of these books. Anyway, because, you know, this is what is part of what we're trying to do here on Joy on Paper with Devon Miller's wonderful, wonderful, beautiful recommendations for children. And now we have Bria Burton, who is doing our sci-fi series of book buzzes, and she's going to do one a month. All of this is done with the hope that you will get out there, read more, turn off the television, stop watching the reruns, stay away perhaps from the news and calm your nerves, and read and find a good book. And just go to my website, Radio-Joy on Paper. Listen to any of the interviews I have done, and you will find a book there that you will love. Because remember what I always say. One of the joys of life is to see your words on paper, to hear them spoken in an audible book, or if you're very, very, very lucky, to hear those magic words, lights, camera, action, and your book will be turned into a major motion picture, a streaming video, or perhaps a series on the Hallmark Channel. You never know, and you won't unless you start writing. And I hope that Carol J. Perry is writing today because she has a deadline. And I know she's writing because she is she is so amazing, disciplined. And that's why book number 12 of her Witch City Mysteries is coming out in April. And can you imagine 12 books in 7 years, I think. It's 7 years now. Wow. This is amazing. Say something nice to somebody today, and I will say something nice to Big Ed in the control room. Thank you, Big Ed. Thank you for everything. Everybody, have a wonderful, wonderful day. Oh, boy. And if you're up north, stay warm. My brother has 32 inches of snow, and he's happy. He's happy about it. He's crazy. I love him. Anyway, everybody, bye-bye now.